The numbers coming out of the real estate business show a general upward trend. Home sales are picking up and prices with them. It's too little too late for some people, though. Many still owe more than their homes are worth. In the worst cases, people are fighting to stay in their homes, targeted for foreclosure. Foreclosure is still enough of an issue that the Oregon legislature passed a law this year laying out some new procedures. Those are contained in Senate Bill 558, SB 558. And the focus is on face-to-face mediation between homeowner and foreclosing party. Karen Pierce is the housing resource lead for Access, Inc. in Jackson and Josephine counties, one of the agencies around the state that is helping implement the goals of SB 558. Karen, welcome back to The Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey. It's good to be here.
So what is different now? What is different under SB 558 from what existed before?
The biggest change was the inclusion of judicial foreclosure filings, which were not included in the previous bill. So that's 93% of the active foreclosure filings were judicial filings, and that was a necessary change that needed to take place after the original bill, SB 1552, was passed in July of 2012.
Okay, so let's unclog a little bit. When we talk about judicial versus non-judicial foreclosure, we can guess, but rather than guess, you're here for that answer.
The state has two methods that they'll allow a lender who needs to foreclose because of non-payment. One is the non-judicial foreclosure filing, which was what traditionally had been used in the state for residential trust deeds that they were foreclosing on when people couldn't pay. Then the judicial was a backup. It was one that was used for commercial. It was used for extreme circumstances. And then along comes an extreme economy that creates many extreme circumstances. And we ended up needing to file in the judicial courts for these to be resolved.
All right. So a non-judicial just simply didn't go to the courts at all?
They would publish. They would acknowledge. They would state publicly the amount that was owed. They publish this in a paper for 4 weeks, set an auction date. If the loan was not brought current, then it was sold on the courthouse steps. Basically, it was a very boiled down version of that. And that because of mainly MERS, the Mortgage Electronic Registration System, that system no longer worked. There was confusion over the ability to insure when a homeowner utilized that, a lender utilized that process on a homeowner that couldn't pay, and the courts of Oregon had stated that it was necessary for them to straighten it out in the courts, and that's when they moved over to the judicial filings.
I can see how a person who was the target of a foreclosure could get confused between MERS, judicial, non-judicial, a bunch of other bits of terminology. And, of course, one of the bigger ones is trying to figure out who it is who's foreclosing upon you. Wasn't that an issue in a lot of these cases?
It was. Transparency was definitely an issue, or lack thereof. And many of those issues that were part of this original crisis have been resolved. So you can go to the Mortgage Electronic Registration System, put in the number that's on your documents, and now you can find out who is servicing your loan, who the investor was, and it's easily found out.
And it's usually somebody different from who you thought your mortgage was with. And in other words, is the person you're sending your mortgage coupon to, assuming you have one, is that the person who actually holds your mortgage and is foreclosing upon you?
Not usually. Yeah, they've been instructed by that person to foreclose on you. And so in our area, many of our loans are the investors would be Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or FHA would be the three major ones for our area. And it would be those entities that are the final decision makers and have instructed the person they're making their, or the corporation they're making their payments to, what they want done and what they're willing to do.
Wow. I mean, I can imagine the stress of getting a notice saying you're being foreclosed upon, but it sounds like the stress only gets added to by the level of confusion that is easily found in this situation.
It's a very complicated system, and the average homeowner is lost trying to sort through it, which is why we're able to step in and help them and advocate on their behalf at Access through our housing and mortgage counseling programs.
I can imagine that people who are not going through foreclosure would think, well, wait a minute, isn't this like the news of 5 years ago now? But the fact is that there are some fairly significant numbers of homes that are in foreclosure, or at least are behind in their payments.
There are. There have been, on the actual filings in Jackson County year to date, there have been 790 judicial foreclosure filings and 54 non-judicial. So there are 844 through August 31st of 2013. In Jackson County, and there's another 386 in Josephine County. So yeah, there's still a problem out there. It's related to income. It's related to jobs. People might be back to work, but they're making less money. If they're making less money, they can't afford the payments they originally qualified for, and it's a vicious circle.
We were talking about the changes to the foreclosure program in Oregon, or at least in the foreclosure avoidance mediation program in Oregon, with Karen Pierce, who's the housing resource lead for Access, Inc., which is one of the agencies that implements the provisions of Oregon Senate Bill 558. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Many questions, obviously, still to be asked and answered here. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. So the actual mediation program, this is meant to get people face-to-face with the people who are doing the foreclosure proceeding, correct?
Correct. One of the problems that we've seen since this became the foreclosure picked, the level picked up in 2008, was a difficulty with the homeowner trying to communicate with their servicer and resolve their issues. So what this bill does is gives them an opportunity to go face-to-face with a decision maker or a decision maker available remotely with their representative face-to-face in what's now called a resolution conference, which was the mediation. And what we're hoping for is people will get a decision within a few months versus years. Some of them have waited, or many, many months, and be more likely to come to a resolution because it's addressed earlier on. So the more that they fall behind, the more that's owed, the less alternatives may be available to them as a solution. So this, we're hoping to just pick that up and be able to resolve some of these defaults quickly.
You mentioned the word remotely. Does that mean the mediation resolution conferences can be done through Skype or something like that?
Correct. So we might have, pick on one of the major servicers, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase. They'll have an underwriter that is going to review a request for a workout, usually modification, short sale, something along those lines. And they'll have looked at the initial documentation that the homeowner supplies, have provided their own documentation to show that they have the right to foreclose, and they'll have that decision maker who's reviewed these documents available in the resolution conference. So very rarely is Chase going to send a representative from somewhere back east, or Bank of America, Wells Fargo, whoever it is. They'll have an attorney that they'll send in that's familiar with Oregon laws, familiar with the program, and that person will be the one attending on their behalf with access to the decision maker during the conference.
All right. That was the big question, whether you're actually talking to somebody who's in a position to do something about the situation.
They have to. That's what the law is meant to cover, is get a decision maker on the phone, resolve it quickly if possible.
So what does the homeowner being foreclosed need to do before they get to the resolution conference? And what steps have usually taken place before the resolution conference is even called for? And who calls for it?
It depends. There's two ways to initiate a resolution conference. If a beneficiary wants to, being the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and the servicer based on their instructions, if they want to foreclose, they have to notify the homeowner that that's what their intention is and that they have the right to the resolution conference. And then it's up to the homeowner to opt in. If they don't respond, then they've lost their right. If they don't provide their documentation by the time they get the notice within the deadline and pay their fee of $175 or $50 if it's reduced for their income, then they lose that right and it doesn't come back. So it's important that they open up their mail and understand that notice, what it means. So that's one of the reasons why we're out and about trying to let people know that first you have to say yes, and if the beneficiary has initiated it. If a homeowner sees they're in trouble and wants to be proactive, they may also initiate it, but they have to do it through a housing counselor. So they need to come in to see us and sit down and look at the alternatives and verify that, yes, this person is at risk of foreclosure due to financial hardship, because the program's designed for financial hardship, not because of negative equity or other prompts that might trigger their wish to resolve something with their servicer.
All right, so just being underwater in your home is not enough. It's actually got to be into the foreclosure zone. But you bring up an interesting point here, because I gather that there are some people who have just, because they can't afford to pay their mortgage payments, have been ignoring all mail from the place that is seeking to collect. And if they do ignore the mail, they're going to miss the notice saying, you can come to this conference.
Mm-hmm. And then the opportunity's gone. And that's people facing hardship sometimes bury their head in the sand. And it's difficult for them to look at what's coming at them when it's coming from all angles.
So why are agencies like Access involved? What's the portion of this that Access delivers?
We're familiar with guidelines for the different programs. We go through pretty extensive training. The background of our counselors there is very extensive, and the value that they bring to the table that I believe is greatest is the neutrality that they can offer. It's very difficult for a homeowner to look at something from that perspective and not be emotionally engaged. We'll have people come to us that want things that may or may not be realistic, and we'll help them sort through the options and talk about unintended consequences. So there may be someone that says, I'm done, I just want to sell and go. And they want to go to the resolution conference to negotiate a short sale, a deed in lieu of foreclosure, something they just want out. Yet they may have taken out a refinance transaction several years earlier that they took a bunch of cash out on, and there's potential tax consequences. So do they really want the short sale? Is that really the solution? They need to look at the big picture, and we'll help guide them through that and get to the people that we believe they need to talk to get proper consultations before they ultimately make their decision.
Does your agency Access have a wider suite of options available for people to come in with whatever the issue may be with their home finance issues? I mean, in other words, if they're not eligible for this, the resolution conferences, for the foreclosure avoidance program, do you have other things that you can say, well, you're not eligible for this, but we do have other things you could fit into?
Yes, absolutely. So we're gonna be looking at everything. We're gonna be looking at state programs. We'll be looking at the typical programs people are looking for, the modifications. There's not just one modification program. There's a multitude of them. Then we'll be looking at time frames. Have they passed? Are they no longer eligible? That we'll be looking at the big picture. Do they possibly need to? Maybe they're unemployed and modification's not the option yet. They need to look at a forbearance, then look at a modification. Or do they need to sit back and take a look at their debt? Maybe that's really the overall issue, not necessarily the mortgage. We'll look at everything in their situation and talk about all the alternatives.
Given the fact that it's 2013, the crash really started about 6 years ago now. I mean, are you running across people in your line of work who have been really kind of out in the wilderness for a while? Struggling, not quite knowing what their options were in terms of these programs?
Yeah, we have some real survivors in the Rogue Valley that have tried everything. They've sold things, they've gotten extra jobs, they've done everything they can think of to try to hang on through this, and now they just can't any longer. So they're really trying hard. It's not usually people that have just made bad decisions or have just said, I don't like what the market position is, I'm done. It's true hardship that we're facing, and they're working extremely hard to try to overcome their circumstances.
You mentioned 1,200 foreclosures, judicial and non-judicial, in Jackson and Josephine counties, roughly, since the beginning of the year. How does that compare to some of the worst years of the recession, though? I mean, is 1,200 a low number compared to those?
It's not as high as it's been, but it's definitely elevated. The times where it dropped were when, for example, SB 1552 passed and all the servicers halted on the foreclosures until they could determine what they needed to do. So there were really artificial decreases. And now we had a spike that happened in March when the servicers thought that, this is coming. We better hurry up and shove some of these through that we have in our backlog. And so that the averages, I'd say it's still pretty high. It's not as high as it's been. It's definitely better than it was at the peak. But because we're seeing values start to come up in some of the market segments and there is more activity, there are more buyers, we're having homeowners reenter the market now that were previously foreclosed on. That should help sell through some of this inventory once it all goes through.
So you mentioned a deed in lieu of foreclosure. That's an option for some people. How?
So somebody attempts to sell their home. The servicer rarely is going to agree to just take the home back unless they've attempted to sell it first. And they've attempted to sell the home and they couldn't. And now time's up. They need to relocate for their job, or they can no longer pay and it's going into foreclosure. They need to do something else. And the servicer will agree to take the home back under agreed upon terms and release them so that they don't have to go through the foreclosure.
You mentioned that some foreclosures seemed like they were getting rammed through in advance of the Oregon legislature passing what became Senate Bill 558, which is the program we're talking about here. There is that August 4th effective date, I guess, for
That's
SB
correct.
558. If you were in foreclosure before that, are you eligible for this program?
Depends. If it's active, no. If you were previously filed on and it was canceled for some reason, then yes, you could be eligible under SB 558 for a resolution conference.
But would the majority then of the 1,200 you talked about for Jackson and Josephine counties likely not be, just because it's recently enough?
Likely would be.
Would be.
Because they have not yet been filed on.
Okay. All right. Boy, I can imagine just this gets really, really confusing to people.
It does. Yeah. It's really hard sometimes for us to sort through, but we have some amazing resources available to us. There's an attorney up in Portland, Kelly Harpster, who's been a huge advocate for the homeowner and is very familiar with the foreclosure defense process. That's been helping counselors and mediators throughout the state try to sort through these pretty incredible laws, because we're not attorneys, we're not accountants, but the level of expertise we have is very great as far as mortgages go, but we all collaborate together to make sure that the information we give is reliable.
And who else is attending the resolution conferences? I mean, it sounds like Access goes into the room with the people who are being foreclosed upon, and there's somebody from the servicer there. Anybody else in there? Lawyers? Anybody else?
Could be. So the three primary parties are the facilitator, the mediator, the homeowner, who's a grantor in the terminology for the bill, and the beneficiary, who's the lender. So that beneficiary has to be a decision maker, but the reality of them sending an underwriter is not real great, so they're really going to have an attorney sent by the from the beneficiary. Homeowner may also bring in their attorney or the housing counselor with them. So we're hoping to be able to attend the ones that are needing that assistance as much as we can based on capacity. But we expect several hours to go into these conferences, and the reality is homeowners will be prepared and may have to do this on their own.
Are they likely to walk out of there without their houses, though, which is the general fear coming in?
There is a possibility of it, yes. There's no guarantee what the response is going to be. It's just that they have the right to go hash it out.
Okay. Quick number to call Access, Inc. if you want to get use of the program in Jackson and Josephine counties.
774-4305.
4305. 774-4305, area code 541. We'll put that up on our Facebook page before the morning is out. Karen Pierce from Access, the Housing Resource Lead, thank you for joining us again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
That'll do it for Hour 1. Hour 2 of the Jefferson Exchange coming up. We will talk to the son of a man who was one of the Schindler's List survivors.